ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a slightly belated episode of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, episode 101. I am your host, Jesse Wilson, and with me as always is my friend, compatriot, and co-host in truest sense of the word,
Eric Wahlquist. And we are belated this week, but we're also slightly bloated as well. I had a overstimulated. I had a hard-boiled egg as part of my dinner. And
did you really?
I did.
I had a leftover potato salad, homemade potato salad, which included hard-boiled egg.
Delicious. That wasn't the only thing that I ate.
I don't know. I'll eat just hard-boiled egg as a meal. Surprisingly just filling.
Just one.
Usually two.
Well, that's like, what was that movie, Cool Hand Luke? He ate like 100 hard-boiled eggs.
I only saw that once. It was a while ago.
Movie trivial.
Yeah. How have you been?
Oh, I've been great. You're going to be so proud of me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got to do my what are you drinking right now.
Okay.
Because I'm not drinking beer this week.
Let's hop to it. Or not.
I'm drinking Gatorade Perform.
Oh, yeah?
Of the G series. It's the number 2 of the 3 G series.
Are you lemon hungover? Lime.
No, I'm drinking this because I'm hydrating because I got a bicycle yesterday.
Oh, cool. What'd you get?
I got it's an 80s Seiko 500.
Okay.
It's a Japanese bicycle, and mm-hmm. I love it a lot.
How do you fit on the frame? Because I have a Japanese bicycle, and the frame is slightly too small for me, and you're a taller man than I am, so I can imagine that being a problem.
Well, I went to the bike store, and they measured me, and they basically said I needed a 60 to 61 centimeter. So I went on the old Craigslist, and I got a 60 centimeter. So it's 60 centimeters, so it fits me perfect.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And
that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I bought it from this short dude. He was like 5'4", and he bought it to do the Seattle to Portland, and he was like, yeah, it's way too tall for me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do the Seattle to Portland.
Yeah, I think that's I'm along with being proud of my bicycle, I am also incredibly sore.
How's the chode?
The chode is fine. It's just like I realize I have these two bones on either side of my butt.
Yeah.
And the seat doesn't agree with those guys.
Well, okay, that's interesting. It's always the chode that takes a lot of damage for me.
Well, I think the seat was a little low. I raised the seat today. So
oh, yeah.
I think I was sitting more on my butt. So now that I'm more chode centered, it might be more of a chode situation.
You might also want to think about angling the seat forward.
Uh-huh.
Because that might help out with that too.
Well, I also just have to get a new seat because the seat is the seat has some holes in it, and like the foam is like really hard, and it's not a good.
Maybe get a new seat.
Yeah, new seat is next. I got some lights for it, and I need to get some fenders. I'm
you
really
got a
excited.
Helmet?
I got a helmet.
Good.
I got a lock. I went to I rode to the grocery store tonight to get a sandwich. And this girl locked her bike on top of my bike, and then I couldn't get my bike off of the rack.
What?
She double parked me, man.
Dick move.
She blocked me in.
I can't believe that.
I know.
That sucks.
And it was kind of awkward because there were these two guys out front, and they were trying to get people to give money to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And we were like, no thanks. And then we'd have to stand there next to them for like 10 minutes.
I said no.
They were really nice. They were like, oh, that's such a dick move. I'm like, I know, you're just trying to get my buddy.
That's so funny. Well, welcome to Seattle.
I know. Welcome to bike riding. This is my second day with the bike, and I already get double parked.
That has never happened to me.
I can't believe who would do that.
She I don't know. Came out and she's that's like, never happened to me.
She's like, I didn't even think about it. It's like, obviously.
Weird.
She put her bike on top of mine and then strung her bike lock through the middle of my frame, so there's no way I could get my bike off.
You should have just unlocked. Was she just locked to your bike? Or
no,
she was locked
through my bike to a pole. So, like,
so
it was impossible for me to get my bike off.
That's
yeah.
Oh, what ridiculous. A dummy.
Yeah, what a dummy.
I have had something slightly worse happen to me when I'm riding my bike, which is getting hit by a car.
Yeah.
So, look forward to that.
You've been hit by a car?
Yeah. Did Jeez. I not tell you about that?
I think you did.
It was a mild hit, but I was...
It was a graze.
I was grazed by a car. I was biking past it. I was in the bike lane, and uh-huh. It was a lady who didn't look when she was pulling out into traffic. So she bumped into me and knocked my knee, and then pushed me. Luckily, there's no oncoming traffic because it just pushed me right across the oncoming traffic lane into the dirt on the other side of the road.
Jeez. Did she stop?
It was great. Yeah, she stopped. She was upset about the whole thing, and I got the adrenaline going so bad that I felt totally okay, and I was like, I'm just going to leave. I just wanted to get home.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so bad. So.
Well, that's
just a little.
Last night, we rode down to watch the fireworks because, you know, they had the big fireworks show down here on Lake Union, and we didn't want to take our car because the traffic's crazy. So we're riding back, and this dude, like, just opens his door, like, right in front of Lydia's bike, and then he was like, well, didn't you see me park? And it's like, this is not... You're supposed to look before you open your door. It's like,
would you say the same thing if, like, you opened your door and a truck took your door off?
Yeah, did you see me park?
Like, no, that was your problem, dude.
Exactly.
You're supposed to look before you open your door, dingus.
But anyway, so I'm getting into the joys of bicycle riding. And
dude, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great. It makes my neighborhood feel so much smaller.
It's funny because I just started riding my bike again this year. I had to... readjust the brakes, which is stupidly easy. I can't believe I waited so long to do that.
Yeah.
And I just got on the road again. My bike chain is slightly rusted, so I think I need to replace that.
I love it, man. I'm getting really into it because I think I'm going to get a new set of brakes for the bike, and then I'll get the fenders, and then I'm sure I'll just get a bunch of doodads. It's a great like base frame. I really like it, and it fits me well. But yeah, like, you know, like I rode up to Soli's, like you can ride to Soli's in like less than 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah. Yeah. And Seattle's a great bike city actually.
Yeah.
Except for the hills, but the bike culture is really good.
I'm quickly learning about the hills.
Oh, the hills can be a beast.
Like even just a small grade is like pretty tiresome. 'Cause like there's these long grades that are just like a, it doesn't even seem like it's uphill, but it is.
You will adapt to that pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, I just have the weak. I have the weak quads right now.
Yeah, exactly. Try going over. What's that big hill between just north Magnolia?
Oh God.
Yeah, I took that from the ferry terminal over that hill and then up Green Lake or Greenwood, whichever that big hill after that is.
Yikes.
To get to your house once.
Oh, geez.
Well, that was a good ride. Anyway, this has been Bike Chat.
This has been Bike Chat, brought to you by
the Bikey.
And by Tim Hortons, now offering free Wi-Fi to all Canadian listeners.
Pro tip. So, anyway, we should probably get on with the podcast.
Yeah,
here.
Well, I got a deado.
Oh, right.
So I'm going to deado this episode to the entire cast of The Larry Sanders Show. specifically Gary Shandling, Jeffrey Tambor, Wallace Langham, Rip Torn, Penny Johnson, and Janine Garofalo.
Wow.
It's great, man. I've been watching this show like crazy. I've been gobbling up the episodes. And there's 89 of them on Netflix right now. So it's just like, I'm just going to watch an episode of Larry and go to sleep.
So,
what are you drinking,
real
by the
quick,
way?
I'm drinking your favorite, one of your favorites here, Silver City Ridgetop Red, Hometown Hero.
All right.
And I didn't realize it was a gold medal winner at the Great American Beer Festival, which is the gold standard for beer awards in the United States, essentially the Spiel des Jahres of beer awards.
Yeah.
And so you get to proudly say that your elementary school has a GABF gold medal named after it.
Junior high, sorry. Ridgetop Raiders, go red.
Go red. Ridgetop Red.
That away. Well, that's great. I guess it's time for a little Tiny Man roll-off, and we can go ahead and get this show rolling.
Yeah.
What do you say?
All right. I'm doing the digi-roll, as it were. Oh, I rolled a 5. Bummer.
Doing the analog roll. Here we go. 13, baby.
I guess that proves that analog is better.
I guess so. All right. So my first topic, big surprise to everybody who's a longtime listener. I'm going to talk about movies.
Good. I was afraid you were going to talk about my first topic, but we're good.
Well, I might. That might be my second topic.
We'll find out.
All right. Well, everybody might think that the movie season is over. I mean, we've had the Avengers, right? We've had Prometheus. Spider-Man came out this last weekend.
Movie season just began.
Well, movie season starts in May, so we're already 3 months deep in this thing.
Jeez.
I mean, I guess we're really 2 months deep. But we're 3 months by the, if you're bad at counting months.
The Eric standard.
Yeah, by the Eric standard. But I just want to remind people that there are still some really excellent films coming out. Of course, we don't really need to talk about that much, but The Dark Knight Rises is coming out July 20th in a mere 3 weeks.
That'll be fun.
Mere 2.5 weeks. Actually, it'll be 2 weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from the day this is released.
Heath Ledger's biggest practical joke ever.
Oh, God. The Joker's biggest joke. This is coming out. This is coming out in 2 weeks. I don't know. They're releasing more trailers and more commercials for it. And I'm kind of getting a sense that it may not be very good.
I mean, it's going to be so hard to top The Dark Knight Rises.
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight, right?
I think so. I mean, I think this might be... Because, like, you know, I was always a huge fan of Return of the Jedi as a kid. I love that. That was my favorite one when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too, when I was a kid.
Yeah, but everybody who, like, grew up with Star Wars, like, through the series, they all hated Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And I feel like this might be our Return of the Jedi.
It could be.
I feel like they're getting the classic, we're going to cram as many villains in this movie as possible. Because basically, well, it looks like Catwoman's not going to be a villain, but she'll probably start off as a villain or something. Mm-hmm. And then you have Bane. And then it looks like Ra's al Ghul's going to be in it, and then probably Talia al Ghul. So it could be.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. A
lot going on.
But they aren't. At least they're not going to cutesy-fy it like they did with Jedi, you know?
Well, who knows?
You know, maybe Ewoks. The Ewok.
Yeah, or like, you know, Bane's baddies, and they're all like kids with masks on.
Do you think that there's a Chinese restaurant called Ewok, and it's also a land cafe?
That's just how you pronounce my name if you have a speech impediment.
Is that true, Ewok? Ewokwist.
Ewokwist. Dark Knight's coming out July 20th. I don't know if you've seen the previews for this, but just a mere 2 weeks after The Dark Knight comes out, Total Recall will be coming out. And I'm actually kind of excited about this one.
So what's the deal with this? It's not a remake. It's a kind of a reimagining, right?
Yeah, it's basically a reimagining. Like, you know, Total Recall is based off of the Philip K. Dick story, We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
He was just the best with names.
I know.
Between that and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep.
Yeah, really
Blade
catchy.
Runner, Schmade Runner.
So this movie's coming out. It's not set on Mars like the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, but it does star Colin Farrell, who I think is one of the most underrated actors in Hollywood. I think
you know, I don't know that much about him.
I just think he got a really bad rap early on in his career, and it kind of it culminated in Alexander. He played Alexander, and that's known as one of the biggest flops ever.
I'm not even familiar with this movie.
It's a movie about your favorite historical figure, Alexander the Great.
Interesting.
It's directed by Oliver Stone.
It's no good?
No good.
Huh.
Not a good film.
Huh.
So he basically fell off the radar after that movie. But he'd done, like, Phone Booth, which I actually liked, Phone Booth. But he was kind of seen as, like, this cocky actor. He also had all this tabloid stuff that was going on during that time. But then he, like, came back and he did In Bruges, which I don't know if you've seen that movie, but that movie rules. And I just think he's a good actor, and I like what he does. So I'm excited about him in this movie. It's basically just set on Earth. Plus, it has Bryan Cranston in it, who everybody loves.
Oh, I love Bryan Cranston.
It's got Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel, so you can play the game where you try to figure out who's who during the movie, which is always fun. Because I think Kate Beckinsale is rocking the American accent. But I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited about this movie.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be great.
Yeah.
I love a good sci-fi, man. Just like hard sci-fi. It doesn't get any better, in my
and this
opinion.
In all the previews and stuff, this thing looks like it's great future tech, which is, of course, you know, what you always want.
Especially with Philip K. Dick, because he was all about that.
Right. And, you know, it's a great story because it's he basically finds out that he's had this memory of his life has been implanted into his brain, and he's had this completely different life where he's, like, basically an activated super soldier where they can activate him at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cool story. But the interesting thing is that the same day that that movie is coming out, The Bourne Legacy is coming out, which is also about somebody who has a locked away super soldier in their brain.
That's true, huh?
But The Bourne Legacy I'm not as excited about, and I don't even know if I'm going to see this one.
You love the Bourne movies.
I love the Bourne. I love the trilogy, but I don't know. I'm done with it. It's done.
Hmm.
And I don't really like Jeremy Renner that much, and he's the new Bourne.
Oh, I didn't realize they recasted Bourne.
Well, he's like not Bourne anymore. He's like a different guy.
But
like Bourne, I don't know if it's going to be like a code name thing or I don't know.
Huh.
I just, whatever. Although, you're in this movie, Edward Norton.
Yes!
And Rachel Weisz is in this movie as well. So, anyway, that's coming out the same day. But if I have the choice between Bourne Legacy or Total Recall, I'm going to go with Total Recall. And then this one's going on a little bit later in the summer, but it's still technically summer in Seattle because summer goes through September.
And summer just started yesterday.
Summer literally just started yesterday.
The weather's been so shitty. And then just 4th of July miraculously turned gorgeous.
It was crazy. Yesterday, I get out of the car. I went to this family get-together down in Tacoma. I get out of the car and I look up in the sky and literally the clouds are dissolving. Like, you can watch them, like, they're, like, spinning and into nothingness. They're just, like, dissolving in the sky. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, and booming from the heavens above was, God bless America.
Yes. In the parlance of our times, that shit was cray.
That shit cray. They should have said to poets, that shit cray.
But anyway, so this is coming out September 28th is Looper, and this is one of my most anticipated movies of the year. And this is starring Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And basically, Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays Bruce Willis as a young man, and his job is that he stands out in this field. And basically, time travel hasn't been invented yet in his time, but it's been invented in the future. So what these, like, bad guy mafia dudes do is they send people back into the past and then assassinate them. So that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's job, is to sit in this field, and when people pop up on this little blanket in the middle of the field, he puts a bullet in their head.
Weird.
But then one of the guys shows up in the field, and it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt as an old man. And so that's Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love time travel movies in general, and this is like got the whole...
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it sounds really, really cool.
That's the first I've heard about this.
And I love these types of movies because I watched this movie, Time Crimes, not too long ago, which is a Spanish film. You can get it on, you have to order it through Netflix. It's not a watch instantly. It's like about this whole time travel scenario, but like you're never really sure when the time travel scenario started because like... The guy acts out these things, and then you realize that he was the one who put all these things in motion. So he's basically caught in this, like, continuous loop. And you never know when it really started. And
so he's a looper.
Exactly. And that's basically, you know, so this is going to raise questions as to, like, did these events happen in the past? Is this the second time that these things have happened? Or is it the 50th time? You know?
Uh-huh.
So I just think it's going to be really, really fun.
That's interesting because just the other night I watched a great, and I'm not joking here, I watched a great movie about the philosophy of time travel known as Time Cop with JCVD.
Uh-huh.
The Muscles from Brussels,
right?
Which I highly recommend everyone should watch that. So maybe to prep yourself for Looper, yeah. Get out there and watch Time Cop, definitely.
Did you know that, so Stephen Hawking said that he proved that time travel can't exist because he held a party and then he gave out the invitations in the future and nobody showed up to the party?
Maybe no one wants to go to your party.
I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be really interesting to meet Stephen Hawking, but I don't think I want to go to one of his parties.
I just picture him wearing a party hat alone. There's a disco ball, and all it is all. Shucks.
It's just like, and then like this auto-tune music is blasting in the background.
Digital. That party horn thing that goes, but just a digital version of that.
Right. God, that's awful. So anyway, Looper's coming out September 28th. That also has Emily Blunt and Paul Dano, who are both cool, are in that movie as well. So look for that one. So
well,
those,
speaking of,
those are my movies for the summer.
Cool. Speaking of sci-fi.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a little bit of real-life sci-fi that's going on right now that everyone's talking about.
Yep.
And you know what I'm talking about, which yep. is the Higgs boson.
Right, the Higgs bison.
The Higgs bison. one of the most short-lived Indians.
Oh, no.
There's Dancing with Wolves, there's Higgs bison.
That's so sad.
Sorry. Anyway, I just watched Dancing with Wolves recently.
Yeah.
So the Higgs boson uh-huh. has been confirmed with a 99.97% certainty
yep.
to exist.
Right.
And this was all over Reddit, and it was in the Seattle Times today. It's been in the news. So I spent this morning trying to figure out just what the hell it meant.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
There's all this talk about it. And
yeah, it's called the God particle. That's the
yeah, exactly. It's colloquially or in the media known as the God particle, although right. scientists don't actually like to call it that. And yeah. After doing a little bit of research, I agree that it shouldn't be called the God particle.
Well, because the God particle is actually a joke. Calling it the God particle is a joke.
Was it?
Yeah. It's,
I don't get the joke.
It's basically... well, here, you talk, because I want to get this story straight, but it's basically a joke.
Okay, so what the Higgs boson is, as my understanding, I'm not a physicist or a chemist by any stretch of the imagination. I just have kind of a layman's curiosity about it.
Yep.
But it's a subatomic particle that was created at the Large Hadron Collider, or Large Hadron Collider, as I like to call it.
Well, it was... They were able to recreate it there.
Recreate it, right. It wasn't invented, but they were able to basically create enough data to show that it existed. And it's not like they made it and said, there, we made one. See, you can see it. Essentially yeah. what they did is they ran the series of tests over and over and over and over. And what's interesting is that there were kind of two theories, and they're trying to figure out which theory was correct. And the difference between the non-Higgs boson theory and the Higgs boson theory was so minute that they had to run an extraordinary amount of tests. And what I heard was that they ran 40 million reactions a second, day and night. And this Hadron Collider has been going for years. So 40 million... pieces of data a second this whole time, and just now have they gathered enough to confidently say that this theory is correct.
Yeah, so basically what Higgs boson does is it gives things mass.
Yeah, it explains why particles have mass, and explains why some particles don't have mass.
Because basically it's like this ethereal particle that some subatomic particles... the more they interact with it, the more mass they have. So, like, the example that I saw was that, like, a barracuda swimming through water, it can go through really smooth, right?
Uh-huh.
So, it doesn't have... It's a weird it's a weird way to explain it, but basically in this it would be like, so since it's not interacting with the water very much, then the water doesn't add anything to it. But if like you're like a big fat dude who's running through a pool, you're interacting with the water a lot, so the water is like kind of sticking to you.
That's funny. That's, yeah,
that's basically what it is. So like an electron, it doesn't have any mass because it's kind of streamlining through the Higgs boson, but like a proton interacts with the Higgs boson, and that's why it has mass.
Exactly. And the analogy I heard was it's like a skier gliding on top of the snow versus someone...
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, up to their waist trying to plow through it. And essentially, the Higgs boson field occupies all space, and right. Certain particles interact with it and certain particles don't. Those that don't are able to move much more fast. And
right.
We observe that. We characterize that as mass. And now the thinking is that mass is a characteristic of a particle, kind of like charges. But uh-huh. The interesting thing about this is there's no negative mass. Like there's
right.
No repulsive gravity unless...
Well, basically mass, you know, a lot of people get mass and weight mixed up.
Yeah.
But basically mass makes things able to be affected by gravity. That's kind
right.
of what mass is. It's like if you have mass and you're able to be affected by gravity, which gives... And then whatever gravity you have gives you a certain amount of weight.
Yeah, but it's almost like...
The mass allows the gravity to work on you.
It's almost like a magnetic charge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like pulling,
it's totally a magnetic
together.
Charge. I mean, it's very similar. I mean, that's what I was talking to Lydia about this. It's so funny. If like, you like, pick something up and you drop it, it's basically got this magnetic charge pulling it to the Earth. I mean, it's similar to a magnetic charge pulling it to the Earth, but you don't really think about it that way.
Exactly.
Because it's also easier to... fight against gravity in a lot of ways. You know, you can fly an airplane or you can bounce something.
Yeah.
But
that's just fighting against it.
Right.
What's interesting, though, is that there's no negative version of this because, you know, for a charge, every positive charge, there's a negative charge, too.
Yeah.
But there's no negative version of mass. There's not like there's a clump of something that if you dropped it, it would be repulsed from Earth.
Well, there is antimatter, isn't there?
Yeah, antimatter is something entirely else, though.
Well, this has been two non-physicists talking about physics.
Yeah. Anyway, I just spent this morning trying to figure out exactly what it was. And yeah. Especially the whole God particle thing. That was so blown out of proportion.
Well, it's funny because... Well, also, you know, God particle was used in that second Da Vinci Code movie. What was that called? Whatever it was.
Angels and Demons?
Yeah, Angels and Demons. And also that book was about the God particle. About the Vatican trying to cover up the God particle, but the Knights Templar, whatever it is, I don't care. But really, it's also been said that like this Higgs boson mathematically allows the Big Bang to work, which is something that's cool. So that could be.
I think the Big Bang worked mathematically anyway. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but this I don't know. So that's what I heard is that it like contributes to the Big Bang theory. But really, I found this answer. It says that the term the God particle was originated by the former director of Fermilab, Nobel laureate Leon Lederman, in his book, The God Particle, If the Universe is the Answer, What is the Question? Lederman gave this name to the particle because he felt it is so central to the state of physics today, so crucial to our understanding of the structure of matter, yet so elusive that I had to give it a nickname. Lederman actually wanted to call it the goddamn particle, but his editor wouldn't let him.
He should have just called it the Emperor Particle. And it would have been fine.
Yeah. Well, then you're getting into whole empirical stuff.
Well, I think it's cool because, I mean, the Large Hadron Collider. And do you think there's been a porn called the Large Hadron Collider?
Well, there will be now.
Yeah, Higgs Boner and the Large Hadron Collider.
God. Oh.
But, I mean, remember the whole... This thing's going to create a black hole scare.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, we observe faster than light particles, which turned out to be untrue.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a victory for just gathering the data, letting it, the datum. No, that's singular. The data.
Uh-huh.
And letting that shine through and, you know, not jumping to conclusions. And they've had a real cool result out of it. And I'm happy for them.
Well, that's great. So yeah. kudos to those bison huggers. So let's move on to some trivia.
Let's do that. Let's see. 1983 version, correct?
1983. It's the same year my bike was made.
Is there
going to
be any Higgs boson questions?
I hope not.
Apparently, this theory has been around since 1960.
Yeah, it's been mathematically around since for like 50 years. But Higgs is still alive, so.
Which is really cool. Could you imagine after all that time to see your work validated like that?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, he must have been pretty young when he must have been pretty young when he came up with that.
Yeah, seriously.
He's like, I don't know. I was just theorizing. I was
high.
I was smoking a lot at that time. So
he was like, "What if the whole universe is like a snowfield? But there's snow barracudas that could just zip through it. Call them bosons."
Yeah. Higgs beatnik. All right, so we're going to do a little Trivial Pursuit. I rolled a 5, which means very, very timely. We're going to be doing Science and Nature.
Ooh, fan favorite.
Oh, yeah. So, Jesse, I'm going to ask you first. What is the most popular beverage in America? We had a similar question to this, but it was the most popular beverage in Greece.
Wait, what? Oh, right. Well, I'm hoping it's not a trick question, so I won't say water. I'll say coffee.
I'll say milk. Milk, I got it.
Ugh, but come on, water.
Well, come on, all babies drink milk. That's like a pretty big chunk of the population.
It is baby boomers era, so. Yeah. Good point.
What color does litmus paper turn if a solution is acidic? I'm going to say... I'm going to say blue.
I think it's green.
All right. Pink or red? I was completely wrong. I went against my instincts there.
I knew it was either green or red.
I went against the instincts. I knew it was red. I went against my instincts. God damn it.
You're still winning.
All right. How many times larger than life size?
What?
Sorry. Well, this is such a weird, it's a weirdly worded question. How many times larger than life size is the Statue of Liberty?
The regular Liberty?
Yeah, than the regular Statuette of Liberty, I guess.
I'm going to say 100,000.
I'm going to say it's a trick question and it's one. Because the Statue of Liberty already is life size. It is the Statue of Liberty.
It's true.
20 times larger than a person.
Oh. All
right, Jesse, you need the steal here.
Overkill.
You need the steal here. What was first dug at Artois, France? And I'm going to say first dug. Dug. I don't know, a trench of World War I.
I'm going to say uranium.
An artesian well.
Oh.
Is the answer.
There you go.
Well, I guess I won.
Congratulations, Eric.
That's probably why Stella Artois, you know? The water comes from an artesian well.
You know, you're probably right.
Probably.
Well, you win everything this week.
I do. It's great. All right. So I had a feeling that you were going to steal my second topic. So I have a backup. And that's another movie that's coming out. This is kind of exciting. So Marvel, you know, they just had the Avengers, and basically they're trying to figure out what they're going to do after the Avengers. So they've already announced Thor 2 and Iron Man 3, and then the Avengers 2 is going to be coming out in 2015. But in 2014, they're going to be coming out with a all-new property, which I am super excited about.
Okay.
And... it's all but
Suicide Squad.
No, that's DC. But apparently there is a Suicide Squad movie in the works, and I am not excited about it. Also, Ant-Man is Ant-Man's in the mix. Doctor Strange is in the mix. But Guardians of the Galaxy is all but confirmed for 2014.
Okay.
Now, do you know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy?
I have no idea.
It's a pretty cool, like, ensemble superhero movie, much like the Avengers. But it'll be cool that they do this, you know, as a, as an actual, just a regular ensemble movie. And I think that there's going to be some really big fan favorites that come out of this movie. So basically, there's two sets of Guardians of the Galaxy. The first team was 1969. The second team was 2008. I don't know which one they're going to go with. But basically, it's just a bunch of kind of, you know, strewn together in the, you know, like the Suicide Squad or the Justice League or the Avengers, one of these superhero teams that comes together and fights evil in the galaxy. And the thing that basically confirms that this movie is going to be coming out is the Thanos connection. Now, Thanos was the villain that was seen in the end credits scene on the Avengers. And
wait, I thought that was Galactus.
No, it's Thanos. That was Thanos, baby.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was Thanos.
Hmm.
So that basically all but confirms it. And there's a bunch of, yeah, because the Infinity Gauntlet will probably play into that. Thanos is the one with the Infinity Gauntlet.
So he's not the Emperor Palpatine guy.
No.
He's the ugly guy.
Yeah, he was the ugly guy with the strong jaw.
Huh.
So it looks like Thanos will be the guy in the Guardians of the Galaxy. And then, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy will probably be tied into the Avengers somehow. They'll probably make this a lead up to the Avengers 2. Now, I think that there's going to be some very big fan favorites that come out of this this series, and I just want to get people prepared to have their minds blown by these awesome superhero guys.
Is Hugs Bison in it?
Hugs Bison is not, but he might be in the sequel. He hasn't been confirmed for the sequel yet. So first of all, there's the Bug. He's a galactic warrior.
Uh-huh. Bugs Bison.
No, he's just a bug. But he's basically a bug, dude. Very cool. There's also Groot, who I really like because he's like an ant, basically.
Oh, you're right. It is Thanos. I thought for sure it was Galactus
no,
at the
Thanos,
end of that.
Man.
Jeez.
But you have Groot, who's a tree, and uh-huh. I love ants, man. But Groot is like basically a badass tree. he's one badass tree. This is one that I think people are either going to love him or hate him, but I think if they do him in the right way, people are going to love him. That's Rocket Raccoon.
Wow.
Who's a human raccoon.
That already sounds horrible.
Humanoid raccoon. He's basically Star Fox.
Yeah, except Star Fox was a fox.
But he's very similar to Star Fox. He's
except
so
for
cool.
The whole fox thing.
Yeah, except for the fox part. But he could be in Star Fox. He was in he's the guardian of the Keystone Quadrant, which is an our area of outer space sealed off from the rest of the cosmos by the Galactic Wall. Captain of the starship Rack and Ruin. This guy's a badass.
Rack and Ruin.
I think that Rocket Raccoon comics are going to be my new obsession since I filled out my Suicide Squad collection.
I like that. But what about Keith Stone? Shouldn't he protect the Keystone Quadrant?
That's true. And then my final, I think this is going to itch everybody's Boba Fett scratch.
Oh, yeah?
Which if you have Boba Fett scratch, you should definitely get that looked at. Mm-hmm. But that's Star-Lord. And basically, Star-Lord is this dude who is an orphan, and he became a NASA astronaut, and while he was on the space station, this entity came to the space station, and it was known as the Master of the Sun, and it said that he's looking for somebody to be the Star-Lord, which is an interplanetary policeman. He's looking for a worthy candidate. Quill volunteered, but was rejected in favor of a colleague that he once treated badly. So he gets pissed off, and NASA's like, you got to come back to Earth, and he hijacks a shuttle, goes back to the space station, and assumes the Star-Lord rank. So basically, he's just taking names and killing things, dude.
Did he kill his colleague?
I don't know. I don't have that information. But he does wear a really cool uniform.
Hmm.
So, Star-Lord, it's kind of like a mix between Judge Dredd and, like, a French colonial soldier in space.
I like it.
I think this movie's going to be really cool. I'm excited about it. And I think that it'll really expand the Marvel Universe even more and do it in a way that'll be digestible and fun. And I think people, you know, they have a formula now, and I think all they need to do is make sure they get a director who can direct an ensemble cast. I think like somebody like Steven Soderbergh would be really cool, I think, but I doubt he would do it. Guy Ritchie would be cool if they did like a Snatch style movie. Mm-hmm. They just need to find somebody who can, because that's what they did, you know, with the Avengers. They got Joss Whedon. He can do an ensemble movie. He could do, and he did a great job. So they just got to find someone who could build an ensemble cast that'll work, and I think they're going to be able to do it. I'm excited to see how these characters will incorporate themselves into the Avengers universe.
Yeah, I'm glad that the Marvel's not afraid to get weird.
Yeah, it's time to get weird, man. We made our billions. It's time to get weird.
It's 2012. Let's get weird.
Yeah. So what's your second topic?
I want to talk about a board game that I've been playing a lot of.
All right.
And it's been a while since we've really featured a board game. And this is one that's been out since about 2008, but I really just started playing it recently, and I love it.
Okay.
It's called Agricola or Agricola.
Yep.
I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. I think Agricola.
Yeah, nobody does, but I call it Agricola.
Yeah, I think Agricola is probably the acceptable pronunciation.
Yeah.
But what this is it's a Euro-style resource game, where you have a farm and you're trying to expand your house on your farm, plow fields, plant crops in those fields, build fences to make pastures and raise animals in those pastures. And there's a whole bunch of complexity that goes on top of that. And I've been playing this game. I absolutely fell in love with it. It's one is darling, just thematically. It's a really cute. It feels like Harvest Moon. Like, it's fun. You're accomplishing a lot. You have a goal that you're setting out to achieve, and you get to try and do that. And then just the resource management dynamics of it are great. And also the fact that it seats 2 to 5 players is pretty dope. Like, it's a really good 2-player game. And I could not recommend this game more highly for people that are into games like Settlers of Catan or your Puerto Ricos.
Now, I'm really intimidated by this game because it has like a billion pieces and a huge rule book.
It looks intimidating.
Uh-huh.
That is true. I'll explain why you shouldn't be too intimidated. One, you set up the board and most of it is flipped over.
Uh-huh.
And you only expose one new card per turn. So at first, it's actually very simple. And then as it gets more complicated, it's very gradual. And it's not like you get hit with a bunch of new information right away. It's slowly over the course of the game, more and more stuff becomes available to you.
Yep.
And the other reason you shouldn't be intimidated by it is that it actually comes with a family version, which eliminates some of the more complicated things. And you can play through on the family version a couple times to get your bearings, and then play the full version after that.
Oh.
Yeah, like the board flips over and has a less complicated side to it.
Oh.
And then if you play the family version, it eliminates what are called occupations and minor improvements, which are the hand of cards that you have in front of you that make it more complicated and more fun and allow you to do, you know, bigger, more complex things. But your first couple playthroughs, you might not want to use those.
So what's the basic game structure? Gameplay. What's your basic gameplay?
You have your farm in front of you, which is kind of a grid, and you want to use up as much of that as possible by expanding your house, making pastures and making fields. And then you start with 2 family members, And each turn, you get to send one of your family members to take an action, which is usually like collecting resources or making an improvement or getting an occupation or getting food. And then you go through a series of rounds, and each turn you flip over another card, and that's a new action you can take, something better or, you know, different that you can do. And then periodically through the game, there's harvest, and during harvest you have to feed your family, otherwise you have a point penalty against you. And then whoever has the most points at the end wins. And one interesting thing about this is you really have to diversify. There's grain, vegetables, three types of animals, and other things that you can score points for. And you can't just like go buck wild and get as much grain as possible and win that way. You really have to diversify, because the most points you can get in one of these categories is 4. And say I got a ton of grain, I'm going to get 4 points for my grain.
Yeah.
But if I ignored everything else and say I didn't have any sheep and I didn't have any wild boar, I would lose a point for having neither of those. So I would lose 2 points by ignoring the other stuff in the game in favor of just one thing.
Yeah. So that goes completely against my whole Puerto Rico strategy.
That's exactly
why. Which is get all the corn.
That's why I like it more than Puerto Rico, because in Puerto Rico you can be king of corn and actually have it stand a chance at winning the game, whereas Agricola, you do have to diversify more. And Agricola actually has a little more variability in your gameplay. Uh-huh. At the beginning of the game, you're dealt 7 occupations and 7 minor improvements. So depending on what you're dealt is definitely going to change your strategy. Whereas Puerto Rico, kind of your strategy is, you can do the same strategy over and over in Puerto Rico if it's working well. Whereas Agricola kind of makes you adapt more, which I find more fun because the game plays out differently every time you play.
Well, that sounds good.
It's so much fun. Eric, you're going to love this game. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. The price point is $70 if you buy it retail.
Uh-huh.
But it's not that bad if you consider essentially you're getting the game plus an expansion or 2 expansions in one, because you have a deck of cards for 2 players, and then if you want, you have 2 extra like expansion decks that are included in it for 2 players, and then there's a whole nother deck for 3, 4, and 5 players, so you just get tons of cards, and can pick and choose which you want to play for. And it's these 1 to 5 players, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of funny, because like $70 for a board game, but you would pay $60 for a new video game, and in, you know, 3 years, are you going to still be playing that video game?
Yeah, probably
but
not.
But I have board games that I've owned for, you know, 5+ years that I still play, that I paid, you know, $60 for. So I think board games are, if you're going to get a good, well-made board game, I think it's worth it.
Yeah. And Agricola is number 2 on BoardGameGeek.com overall.
What's 1?
Is it number 1?
No, what is 1?
Oh, number 1 is Twilight Struggle, which I want so bad.
I
want
to play
it's
that.
It's that Cold War game.
Oh, I was thinking, Twilight Imperium.
Yeah, Twilight Struggle is a 2-player Cold War game, and I really want that. But no, Agricola is great, and it's very, very approachable for non-gamers. Like, I've been playing it with my girlfriend. She's not a gamer, and she's really been enjoying it. And, like, it's just you know it's a good board game because we played it, we had a playthrough, and then we were done, and Tasha was like, well, do you want to take a break and then play again?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I do.
Hell yeah.
Like, this game is just fantastic. So, $70, if you are at all a board gamer, especially if you like Puerto Rico, Settlers of Catan, those Euro resource games, you're going to love this. It's a must buy.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we need to move on to viewer mail.
Yes.
And we have very special viewer mail this week. We want to give a big shout out to Yuri, He is a part of the Hex 19 podcast. You can find them at Hex 19, the number 19, the word hex, hex19.com. But he wrote up a really, really nice podcast pick for us on his website, and we just want to give a shout-out to him. Probably my favorite thing in there was, well, first of all, he says that he was in Reach for the Top back in high school, which I'm pretty sure is Knowledge Bowl.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So that's really cool. He does call us stupid for getting Hamlet and Macbeth confused.
I concede on that.
Yeah, that was stupid of us.
Yeah.
But he says that our podcast makes him want to move to Seattle, except that it rains here all the time. But it's not raining right now.
Not today, sucker.
Not today. But
see,
I
that's the thing I don't mind about living in Seattle is, okay, you get a crappy weather day, and then whatever, it's a crappy weather day, you don't even notice it. But then when you get a good day, everyone takes full advantage of it.
That's true.
So it's like, yeah, everyone's stoked. You get out there, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, according to his hardcore research, Seattle only gets 71 days of sun a year, which is pretty depressing.
Overcast is fine, though.
Yeah, it's just overcast all the time.
I like overcast.
Although he, you know, Yuri's from Calgary, and he says that, or I think they pronounce it Calgary up there.
Is he from Calgary? I thought he was from Alberta.
Yeah, Alberta's, oh, I'm sorry. I got my, I'm sorry. Well, Alberta's the province.
Okay.
God, now we sound like even bigger idiots. Thanks, Jesse.
It was all me. I'm sorry. You were right.
Calgary, Alberta. And,
Go Flames.
Apparently it's sunny all there. Yeah, go Flames. Go Calgary Stampede.
See, I will take a slightly warmer overcast day over a really cold, clear day any day of the week.
Yeah, or like a hot, humid day.
Ugh, yeah. Ugh. Although it's pretty humid here.
No, it's not too bad. It's not humid like Louisiana humid or like
yeah.
North Carolina humid. Like
I don't get the vapors.
Virginia humid. I don't need my hand fan to blow my face off because it's getting so sweaty with the little iced tea lemonade.
My hand fan.
My hand fan.
That's what they call it.
Never mind. So anyway, Yuri rules, and everybody should go check out his Hex 19 podcast that he does with all his buddies. Hopefully we'll be meeting up with him at PAX, and if you're going to be at PAX, we'll meet up with you too. But yeah. Yuri's going to be there, so we're meeting up with him. So that's happening.
That is.
Plus, I do like the Hex 19. They have this guy named Glenn Meyer, whose name is really close to Glenn Miller, who's one of my all-time heroes.
Well.
Anyway. So that happened. You can always write to us. If you have a blog, you can write about us. That's cool. Or you could just write to us at personalarrogance@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the air. You can find us all our social media if you go to personalarrogance.com and look in the upper right-hand corner. You can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. Or you can rate and review us on iTunes, which we enjoy. Yuri also left us a nice rate and review on iTunes. We want to give him a shout-out for that. And the best thing you could do is you could tell a friend. If you like the podcast, please put it in someone else's ears like we put it in yours.
The only thing I didn't like about his review is that he said we were humble and not arrogant.
Yes.
To which I say, shove off, you hoser. You know what? Maybe maple bars aren't so great. Huh? How's that for arrogant?
How's that?
I think that maybe the Vancouver Canuck fans overreacted a little bit to their Stanley Cup loss, huh?
He's a Calgary Flames fan, dude. He doesn't care about the Canucks.
I'm just saying, I'm getting arrogant here.
Oh, okay.
I'm just getting arrogant.
Well, Yuri, I apologize on his behalf. I'm sorry about that. yes, thank you so much, Yuri. We love you so much. And now we're going to move on to some recommendations and call it a cast.
Yeah, you won the roll-off. You lead the charge.
All right, well, my first recommendation, I talked about before, I'm going to talk about it again. I love bikes, man. Get on a bike. Do a bike thing. If you live in a place like Calgary with no hills, you'll have a much better time. but your legs will not be as strong. So it's a trade-off. Uh-huh. I'm going to have quads like freaking roast hams.
I'm excited to see how far into this you go, how deep down the rabbit hole.
I really like it. I love that I can just go and like I said, my neighborhood is so much smaller now.
I'm just wondering if you're going to get the if you're going to end up getting the USPS jersey and the cleats that clip pedals.
I won't get the cleats. I'm afraid of the cleats. I might get the toe hooks. But not the cleats.
Here's the thing about toe hooks, though. Gravity pulls them down every time you take your foot off, so it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Why don't they just have metal ones?
Well, because the metal pivots, you know? The pedal pivots.
Right.
It goes around in a circle. Like, if you kick your pedal, it spins around.
Yeah.
So the toe hooks go on top of the pedal. Right. Right?
Yeah.
And you stick your toe in there, but they're heavier than the bottom side of the pedal, so they just fall underneath.
Oh.
So that's why it's a pain.
Well, you see, they make counterbalances.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, I think I'm going to get into it. I'm pretty excited about it. And my bike's red, which is very cool.
I'm just wondering if, like, next time I see you, you're going to be wearing the spandex. The aerodynamic helmet.
Yeah. It's a semi-aerodynamic helmet. It's like a mountain bike helmet. It's got a visor on it.
You'll have the gloves on.
Yeah. I think I'm going down the path, man.
Yeah, I know.
See how far it leads.
You obsess over these things, so I'm excited to see how far you go. It'll be funny.
Well, what's your first recommendation?
Full Sail American Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. Anyway, for the 4th of July, I wanted to get an American beer, and I wanted an American Pale Ale.
Uh-huh.
So I picked up a 6-pack of Full Sail American Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And it is just tops, man. It is a really good beer. You can find it. It's a Full Sail that's got the kind of light blue 6-pack carrier, and it is a very good beer. Pick it up.
Do it. And then my second recommendation is going to be coming up this Tuesday, the best all-star game in sports, Major League Baseball All-Star Game, is going to be played in Kansas City on Tuesday. So watch that. It's really fun. I love the all-star game.
Yeah.
Winner gets home field advantage in the World Series.
It is actually probably the best of the...
Oh, it absolutely is.
Definitely the best.
Yeah, because they're actually playing. Like, none of the other all-star games they actually play.
No.
But in this one, they're actually playing pretty hard.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty cool.
Pete Rose ended a guy's career at the All-Star game.
What? What happened?
He ran him over at home plate. He was a catcher. Ran him over at home plate, dislocated a shoulder, and the guy never played again.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So that could happen.
Wow.
So anyway, that's happening in Kansas City on Tuesday. It'll be on your television, so you can watch it there.
So my recommendation is Yoga Man Burning Band playing in Port Townsend this Saturday. A friend of the show, Mars, is in said band, so I'll be there, and you should be too if you're in the area.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, we just hit an hour, and so we'd like to thank you for spending another hour with us here on the Personal Arrogance Podcast, and we'd like to remind you that wherever you go
and whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.